Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley.
Good morning.
How are you doing today? Our scripture reading today comes from Romans. Paul, in this scripture, is talking about sin. In fact, it's the third part of three sections that he talked about. He started in chapter 5, talking about the sin in the law. Second part, beginning of chapter 6, he talks about the new covenant with Christ as he died. And the third part, he talks about how we should act now that we are God's children. So listen to the scripture, Romans 6, 11 through 23. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of that one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I am using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourselves as slaves to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Bless the reading of our scripture.
Amen. Bill does such a wonderful job introducing the scripture and then reading, and also a wonderful job as our church treasurer. Also, I know both times it all can be frustrating at times, and thank him for his dedication to both. Well, congratulations. Today's your day. You're off to great places. You're off and away. You have brains in your head. You have shoes in your feet. You can steer yourself in any direction you choose. Those rhythmic words of advice come from the delightful little book of Dr. Seuss. Oh, the places you'll go. You're on your own, and you know what you know, and you are the one who will decide where you'll go. It's up to us, says Dr. Seuss. The world is ours, and we are free to choose what kind of life we will have. He even provides a warning. You'll look up and down streets. You'll look over them with care. And about some you'll say, I don't choose to go there. With your head full of brains and your shoes full of feet, you're too smart to go down a not so good street. I wish that were always true. That we used our intellect, that we used our brains, and we made always rational choices, well thought out and prayed about, and we didn't make those bad decisions. A. Philip Foreman tells about a minister who asked a person he was counseling if he had any troubles making decisions. The man answered, yes, but no. Parham notes that the word intelligence comes from two words, inter meaning between, and legere meaning to choose. An intelligent person is one who has learned to choose between good and evil, truth and falsehood, love and hate, gentleness and cruelty, humility and arrogance, life and death. In other words, you look up and down the street, look them over with care, and some you will say, "I don't choose to go there." As one preacher in the southern U.S. said, God will always vote yes, the devil will always vote no, and the deciding vote is left up to you. Why is it that we are drawn to bad decisions? Especially when we know that making bad choices can sometimes be disastrous for our lives, and we know that when we go into the decision-making process and we go ahead and jump in and we do it anyway. When Pompeii, the city, was excavated, they found a woman's body had been preserved from the ashes from Mount Vesuvius. It was swept over the city. The woman's feet turned towards the city gates. But they found her standing there with her head turned back and her hand reaching back. And they wondered, what in the world was she doing? Was she reaching back for a child? So they excavated that site and wanted to know, what was she reaching back for? What was so important that she would risk her life and give her life for? They excavated and they dug up and they found a bag of pearls. Were they her pearls? Were they a rich woman that had fled before and dropped them, and she saw them and she went to grab them up because wealth meant so much to her that she was willing to risk and give up her very life? She made a decision, a split-second decision, but it was a decision that cost her her life. What a terrible choice. It was a very human thing to do, we would say, to reach out for a bag of pearls. But it cost her her life. There are many choices that people make and end up costing them their lives, their families, their health, or their peace of mind. And anything that causes you to hurt yourself or to hurt someone else is a bad decision to make. Some of you remember a story that I told, actually not too long ago. It was about a young boy and a young girl dating and going to a party. And they knew that there would be alcohol and drugs and all type of illicit activity there. And this particularly responsible young girl said, I'm not going to go. I don't want to go to this party. And if you're going to go, I'd like for you to take me home. And a boyfriend in a very smart aleck voice, you know, said, well, what's the matter? Are you afraid your daddy will hurt you? And she looked at him and said, no, I'm afraid I will hurt my daddy. She knew what her boyfriend was suggesting was a bad choice. And it may or may not affect the rest of her life, but she knew it was a bad choice. So look up and down the streets, look them over with care. And some you will say, I don't choose to go there. Professional speaker Philip Wexler notes that the human being is the only creature on earth that is not a prisoner of programming, but is the master of it. Think about the animal kingdom. Birds are programmed, many of them, to fly south for the winter. They don't really have a choice. It's programmed. They just do it. They don't suddenly decide one day that, well, the economy is bad, I'll fly south. They don't retire in Pittsburgh and say, you know, I think I'll get me a place down at Myrtle Beach or in Florida and I'll go south for the winter. I can afford it. Beavers build dams. Fish swim in schools, but only humans make the decision to build a dam to hold back water. Only humans make the decision, I think I will go back to school to get my degree or to add a master's or a doctorate or whatever. I will make that conscious decision, that choice to do it. Some of you remember an episode of Seinfeld. I never used to watch Seinfeld when it was on, but I think I was working at that time at night, but I watch it sometimes in the reruns. One of my favorite episodes is when George Costanza, Remember him, his character? He's frustrated because every decision he makes seems to be the wrong decision. I think most of us can relate to that. And Jerry says, here's your chance to do the opposite. If every instinct you have is wrong, then the opposite would have to be right. George realized that Jerry is on to something here. If he would act and react completely opposite of his normal actions and reactions, he might have better results in life. So George makes a decision to alter his behavior, and he says, yes, I will do the opposite. And it turns out that Jerry was right. When he went against his instincts, life started working better for him. And of course, this is a comedy show, and it was funny. Yet many of us will have to confess that there's something within us that invariably draws us to making bad decisions and wrong choices. A customer in a bakery was observed carefully examining the goodies behind the glass. A clerk approached him and asked, "What would you like?" And the customer looked for a minute and said, "Well, I would like that chocolate-covered donut that's cream-filled. I would like that cheese Danish. And I'd like two of those jelly-filled donuts. And let me see, I would like a couple of those things." Then his voice changed, and he said, "But I guess you better give me the bran muffin." The Bible says that we are drawn to bad choices and decisions because of our sinful nature. In today's lesson that Bill read, the Apostle Paul writes, "When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death, but now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." St. Paul contrasts people who are enslaved to sin and those who are servants to God. We need to understand really what is he saying here. First of all, let's acknowledge, whether we like it or not, that we're all sinners. We are born into sin, whether we like to admit it or not. Even the best of us, the very best of us, are sinners in our nature. W.E. Sangster is generally regarded by preachers as one of the top preachers of the 20th century, but he acknowledged himself that he was a sinner. In a painfully honest look at his own life, Sangster wrote in his journal that he had many shortcomings in his spiritual life. He confessed that he sometimes was irritable, that he was easily put out by other people. He was impatient with his wife, impatient with his children. He acknowledged that most of his study had been crudely ambitious. He had done it for himself, not for God. He wanted degrees to hang on his wall more than he wanted the knowledge that should come with those degrees. He wanted the praise more than learning about so he could be equipped for ministry. Even in his preaching, he feared that it was more often wanting what people thought of him than equipping them for service and learning about Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He said he felt in a vague way that something was hindering his effectiveness in ministry, and he concluded that it was failure in living the true Christian life. It troubled him that the girl who lived with him as a maid, a servant in their house for over 3 years, would not go to church and would not accept Christ. And it was because of his behavior living in the house with this minister and seeing his behavior that she wanted nothing to do with church or God. He was a sinner. You and I are sinners at our very root. He made bad choices, this minister, just as you and I make bad choices. He needed God's help daily, just as you and I need God's help on a daily basis. So if we are going to be a slave or a servant to something, let's try to choose something that is positive in nature and work on that. If we're going to crave something, let's crave something that is good, positive, and helpful and healthy for us. How about exercise? How about healthy eating? How about a positive attitude and a smile on our face? How about making a choice to be faithful to your spouse and being faithful to your God? How about speaking kindly to your neighbor, or even to the person sitting next to you or across the aisle in church? How about speaking kindly to your neighbor, or let's make a positive decision, all of us, to be the best Christians that we can be, to be the best church that we can be, to edify God and to edify others. But it means making daily choices that are in keeping not with our will, but keeping with God's will for wholeness and health. It means choosing daily, with God's help, attitudes and actions that will bless and benefit God, and therefore you will be blessed. Olympic swim coach Daniel Chambers said, "Great athletes are not made, they're not just born, they have to work at it on a daily basis." They said they get up in the morning and they make small decisions of what they're going to eat, how they're going to exercise, how they're even going to treat other people, what they're going to do that day to be the best athlete that they can possibly be. They can't just throw it all to the wind and just think, "Well, I've just got all these talents, I'm going to be a superstar." It just does not work that way. He said, "Great athletes aren't made in the long run, they are made every day." Positive choices, servants of God, or as Dr. Seuss says, you look up and down the streets, look them over with care. About some of you will say, "I don't choose to go there." With your head full of brains and your shoes full of feet, you're too smart to go down a not-so-good street. Life consists of making choices. Little choices, big choices. The Bible says that we're drawn to bad choices because of our sinful natures, but it doesn't have to be that way. We can train ourselves by God's grace to make healthy choices and decisions on a daily basis. Reverend Tommy Barnett tells a revealing story of a encounter that he had with singer Elvis Presley many years ago, and we all know the story of Elvis Presley. He was in the congregation at a church where Elvis was attending one day and heard this minister. And Elvis was very moved by the sermon, and he wanted to talk to Barnett afterwards. Elvis knew that he needed to repent of his lifestyle and return to his Christian faith. That was a struggle for Elvis his whole life. I mean, you listen to his gospel albums, you can tell he pours his heart into the singing of those. But the lure of the show business was so strong that he felt like he had no choice but to continue on in his show business lifestyle. And we all know what happened to him. The fame, the fortune, the drugs, the alcohol, it killed him. It ruined his life. He made the bad choices, and he knew better. He could have changed his life, but he didn't, and it literally killed him. So what do we do? Choosing Christ invariably helps us to make the better decisions. Now, we can do this a Pollyanna way and say, "Well, I become a Christian, so all my decisions are just naturally going to be good." No, they're not. You still got the devil beating at your head. You still got that sinful nature within you warring with the Christian nature that is there. The good and the bad fighting, warring within you. Which one's going to win? That's one reason the Christian faith has stood the test of time. When people give their lives to Christ, they start becoming better parents, better citizens, and they start living happier, better lives. But you have to understand, it only happens when you make faith the most important part of your life. You can't just tag Christianity and your relationship with Christ and God onto the tail end of your life and drag it along. You have to put Christ at the center of your life. And I think this is where we all make our mistakes, including me. We want to put it over here, or over here, or even way back here. I know people say they're Christians. I ask them, you know, where do they go to church? Well, I haven't been to church in 30 years. I don't need church. You ask them when they pray. Well, I don't really pray. But I was baptized when I was 2, so I'm taken care of. You know, they don't get it. People who drop by church every once in a while. Studies teach us that only people who are serious about their faith and their relationship with Jesus Christ, they make the same bad choices, those who just don't really take it seriously, who don't really come to church, they have the same emptiness as the world outside. Only when Christ becomes a real presence in our lives do we begin to show the benefits of a relationship with God, the church, the kingdom of God, and the people within the church. You know, the word servants of God may rub us the wrong way, but when the emphasis emphasizes the completeness and the commitment that is required, and that's what it takes. The choice is put squarely on us by St. Paul. He writes, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in our Lord Jesus Christ." The choice couldn't be any plainer than that. Or as Dr. Seuss puts it, "Congratulations on your day. You're off to great places. You're off and away. You have brains in your head, and you have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself in any direction that you choose. With God's help, you can." God bless you. Amen. Our closing hymn. I hope we really can make a decision to do this. "I have decided to follow Jesus," 376.